You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It's Friday, November 10th. We're talking some Diamondbacks baseball. We bring in D-backs reporter for MLB.com, Steve Gilbert. Steve, thanks very much, as always, for taking some time with us.
Always my pleasure to be here.
Let's start off talking about the leader, shall we? Paul Goldschmidt of the team. He's just racking up hardware after every season, it seems like. Third Gold Glove at first base received earlier this week, a franchise record. And last night, getting his third Silver Slugger Award, also an MVP finalist. Everyone talks about Mike Trout as the most complete player in baseball, but safe to say Goldie is right there alongside him, right?
Well, certainly. You know, he defensively a Gold Glove winner. And also, you know, we know about that. We know about his hitting, as you mentioned, getting the Silver Slugger Award, hits for average, hits for power. But his base running, I think, a lot of times gets overlooked. It's not just the stolen base totals, which are probably more than you would expect for a guy of his size and speed, but just the way he runs the bases, it's almost a textbook, the way he cuts the corners and does those kind of things. So whatever it is, whatever phase of baseball it is, he seems to excel at and focus at, and his dedication and attention to detail, I think, is kind of what sets him apart in a lot of ways, an eighth-round draft pick out of Texas State University.
Definitely his leadership showing up for sure on that team, going to the playoffs. And Zach Greinke, meanwhile, the leader of the pitching staff, he picks up his fourth Gold Glove, past two coming with the D-backs. Talk a little bit about Greinke for a minute. Things didn't go quite as planned in the postseason. They win the wild card game, but then struggle after that. When you get into looking at how much of a leader he is with the team, are the fans pleased with the results of the year and what Greinke did, or is it a little bit of a bitter taste with the way it ended?
Well, I think there's certainly disappointment with the way it ended, his kind of short stint there in the wild card game. Meant that Robbie Ray had to pitch out of relief, which probably then, well, it definitely cost him a chance at starting game one against the Dodgers of the National League Division Series. And, you know, kind of that was certainly not good for them going forward in that series. But overall, I think pleased with his performance this year, not just, you know, I know wins are not something that most people want to look at anymore. He's 17 wins. But the way he pitched, he chewed up innings. He's also somewhat of a leader on the staff. It's one of those things he does behind the scenes in terms of working with pitchers and going over game plans and helping them see certain things. You'll see during a game he's sitting with the other starting pitchers, and a lot of the younger guys credit him for, you know, being able to point out certain things and help them in terms of their development and approaching hitters.
Yeah, and Torrey Lovello, I mean, having Greinke as the leader of that staff, clearly very important. But when he fills up the lineup card next year, questions of who's going to be in the middle of that order, if we kind of switch gears a little now and look at J.D. Martinez, a lot of big numbers being thrown around in terms of what kind of contract he'll get. He obviously had a huge season coming over from the Tigers middle of the year, was a major part of the D-backs' success going to the playoffs. Is it going to be hard to retain Martinez here? What are you sensing in that regard?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really hard for them to do that. It's starting to look like he's certainly going to get at least $20 million a year, and it's hard to see how the Diamondbacks could possibly make that work going forward in their payroll situation. They've got about $60 million in guaranteed money next year to players, and they have probably, according to MLB trade rumors, you know, arbitration projections, another $52 million going to arbitration-eligible players. So right away, you're talking about a $110 million payroll, which is right about pushing at the records of what they've had in terms of payroll. I don't know how much higher they can go than that, and certainly they can't afford to go $20 million more higher than that. So they would have to move some significant money. Certainly the fact that he's retained Scott Boras leads you to believe he's going to seek top dollar somewhere. So I just don't see that working out in terms of him returning to Arizona.
Oh, I thought he'd get a discount with Scott Boras. That's not how it works. I must have misunderstood that. But what's the backup plan for Martinez? If it doesn't work out, is there a guy in the farm system? I mean, who can they plug into the middle of that order? Is there someone cheaper in free agency? What are you sensing on that?
Well, you know, they have to count on a bounce back from Yasmani Tomas, who missed a good portion of the year due to injury. You know, he's somebody, he swung the bat relatively well over a year and a quarter when he was healthy. So probably he will take over there and, you know, left field with Peralta shifting over to right field and A.J. Pollock in center. That would be my guess. If they can add some depth in the outfield via free agency or trade, you know, they might look at doing that as well. But Tomas is under contract. They're going to be paying him quite a bit of money. So I think that they're going to look to him first.
And we mentioned Torey Lovello earlier on. He's a Manager of the Year candidate. That gets announced next week, and he'd love to have J.D. Martinez in the lineup, but as you said, might not be feasible given their contract situation right now. Obviously a successful first season for Lovello. That's why he was nominated for Manager of the Year. But what impressed you most about how he ran the team and the clubhouse? Was it at his X's and O's on the field? What impressed you most about the D-back skipper his first season there?
I think the most impressive thing about Torey is his communication and the relationships that he built with the players. Right off the bat from spring training, they seemed to buy into whatever it was that he was, what direction he wanted them to go in. Got to know each one of them on a more personal basis. They felt like he cared about them. And that's an important thing over the course of 162 games for players to feel good about the manager. And I think he's did a really nice job of communicating and getting everybody on the same page. That's probably his strength as a manager.
We're talking with MLB.com Steve Gilbert here, talking Diamondbacks baseball on Friday, November 10th. And Steve, obviously this was a difficult week for baseball as a whole, really for sports, when Roy Halladay passes away at the age of 40 in a tragic plane accident in Florida. Just your overall reaction and obviously outpouring of grief around baseball, around sports, and friends, teammates, fans all together, just your reaction to everything that happened.
Yeah, really sad news. You know, he was a guy, I never really dealt much with him over my career in writing, but when you talk to people, just someone who was incredibly dedicated to his craft. Someone who was very generous when it came to young players and helping them along. And just really a shame that he's gone far too soon, because seemed like he was doing a really nice job, especially with the Phillies, in terms of working with some of their younger pitchers. And it would have been really nice to have had him be able to do more of that.
Definitely. And sometimes, you know, you hear things. Obviously, we knew what a great pitcher he was. And then you hear after his passing just what a great character guy he was. And everyone that came across him could talked about how his work ethic and how you said he was willing to work with younger players and really was moving in that direction. So obviously a very sad loss for baseball. We'll end with a question here about the Diamondbacks looking forward to next season. Obviously this past year was successful. No two ways around it. You make it to the playoffs, you win your wild card game, you move on, even though they came up short against the Dodgers. But if you had to say one or two major things here in this first full week of the offseason and moving forward, what does this team need to do to really get to championship contender level next year?
I think the biggest thing that they're probably going to look to do during the offseason is strengthen their bullpen. The bullpen did a nice job last year, but I think that, you know, they've got some decisions to make. Are they going to bring back Fernando Rodney, who closed for them last year? Or will they turn to Archie Bradley as their closer? Either way, though, they would like to add another piece or two reliable back end pieces. So trying to make that fit in their budget will be interesting, and to watch how General Manager Mike Hazen does that. But for me, that's the one thing at this point that would need strengthening is the bullpen.
Steve, thanks so much for the time, as always, especially on a Friday afternoon. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. I'm Darwin Zook, and thanks for tuning in on MLB.com Extras.